This is the story of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a wholly remarkable book. It is still the most successful book ever to come out of the great publishing corporations of Ursa Minor. It is less esoteric than Ghoulgull, the undead search engine, more wide-reaching in scope than An Uproar of Butterflies and Other Excuses for Failing at Golf by Hardon Newsett, and continues to outsell Nebuloid Brinkett's controversial classic, The Ulon Kalufid Delusion, which has the words, "Are you taking the piss?" inscribed on the cover in Ulon Kalufid's handwriting. Perhaps most remarkably of all, it is still pleasing that in these uncertain times, the guide retains the words "Don't panic" inscribed on the front cover in large friendly letters. The Hitchhiker's Guide has many omissions and contains much that is apocryphal, or at least wildly inaccurate. In order to continue the story, it is necessary to dive into these wild waters of inaccuracy and to take the bathyscaphe of errata deep into the apocryphal phases of the canon. In short, nothing that follows should be taken as the word of God. This is especially true of any words that happen to be spoken by any gods. As ever, our story concerns Earthman Arthur Dent, whose homeworld has recently been destroyed in every conceivable reality. We last saw Arthur in the bar of the Stavro Muller Beta, a trendy nightclub on his home planet. Reviews for this entertainment establishment have been rather poor of late, what with the disintegration of all the facilities, the street where Stavro Muller Beta found its address, the city around it, and indeed the entire planet on which it once stood. Facetious critics have complained about the lack of atmosphere and non-existent service, but on the positive side, they have been delighted by the transport links provided by the newly constructed hyperspace bypass. Arthur Dent and his friend Ford Prefect, a Betelgeusean researcher for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, had a very poor evening at Stavro Muller Beta. Instead of enjoying a few drinks, some trendy music and a good meal, they were subjected to forces well beyond the tolerance levels of their physical bodies, and, as a result, were almost completely destroyed. If the opportunity had arisen, they would certainly have contributed a one-star review for the Spiral Arm Good Restaurant Advisor. Despite this apparent dead end, our story continues at the U Sanitaire facility, based on a planetette in the Calliope system, where the patients waiting in reception are about to come under threat from a not entirely unfamiliar source.
Who's next? Step up to the glass, please.
Danny!
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see you. What do we do for you, sir?
I don't want to bother anyone unnecessarily, but I think I've done myself a bit of an injury.
Uh-huh. What exactly happened?
It were about 3 weeks ago, and I was pulling on my trousers when I accidentally sliced off both my legs and lost them in deep space.
Right.
If that weren't bad enough, ever since then, my arms have been getting terribly cramped.
So it's your legs, or lack thereof, that are causing you a problem?
No. It's my arms. Because I got a crawl everywhere now, you see.
Are you on our healthcare plan, mister?
Burn. Ramelad Burn. I'm not on any plan. Someone recommended this place to me at work, and I didn't realise you had to be on any plan.
Very well, you have to fill in these forms. These forms, and these forms. I don't think anyone will be able to see you for about 5 days, I'm afraid.
Thank you. Oh, is it right if I wait on you in reception? Because it took us quite a while to crawl here. Can I keep on passing out?
Of course, that'll be fine. Oh, by the way, have you any idea what's happened to my queue? There were about 12 people waiting a moment ago, but they all seem to have wandered off.
I don't know.
Next, please.
Get off us! What are you doing? Help!
What was that? Oh, never mind.
Hello. I'm not a robot. I'm a fleshy creature and I have trouble with my flesh.
Is that so?
It is indeed. I've broken my skin in several places and have been bleeding through my bones. Ouch! It hurts! Ouch! And I have diseases!
Look, I'm growing tired of you coming here. We only provide healthcare for organic and part organic creatures at this facility. No droids.
I'm not a robot, I'm a fleshy.
Yes, you are a robot. That wig wouldn't fool anyone.
Oh.
Get out of here before I call security. Next, please.
Excuse me.
Oh my goodness. Where did everyone go?
You've got to help me.
What happened to the queue line?
I couldn't help it. I promise you, I couldn't help it. I can't stop eating people.
Can I have your name, please?
My name is Arthur Philip Dent.
And how are we today?
Physically, we have nothing to complain about. Mentally, we are confused but happy. Although...
Yes?
I can't remember...
Can't remember what?
Things.
I'm afraid we can't help with that. I'm told you're to be discharged today.
I may have to stay in a little longer. I've been suffering from increased heart rate and an inability to concentrate.
That sounds serious. How long has this been happening?
Roughly from about the moment I caught sight of you.
Now then, Mr. Prefect, you shouldn't be...
Prefect! That's my name, isn't it? Prefect!
Please, Mr. Prefect, put me down!
Don't move, or I'll detonate this hyperneutrino-negative matter bomb.
That's a bedpan.
Don't think that'll stop me. Who are you? Where am I? Are you working for the Vogons? Answer my questions!
I'm Nurse Ferbal Dillingham. You're a patient at the Youth Sanitaire Super Facility, and there aren't any Vogons here.
Wait a minute. There was an explosion. The planet I was standing on was blown up!
That's right.
Fushoo! It went! No! It went kapow blamaroo! No, but it was... So, how come I'm not dead?
Insurance!
Ah! Insurance!
At this point, it may be necessary to explain about the Youth Sanitaire Super Facility for those who are not sufficiently wealthy to have already heard about it. The Youth Sanitaire is approximately 200 miles high. Traditional ailments are dealt with on the lower floors, while more exotic diseases are treated higher up in the hospital. So, while the common cold is treated on floor 17, if you have come down with a case of Einstein's cold of special relativity, then you need to head to floor 447,102. Reception is on the ground floor, and the complaints department is strategically located on the top floor. The manager of Youth Sanitaire is named Droll Scrupulous. Although generally busy with the day-to-day running of the hospital, Droll is occasionally distracted by other urgent demands on his time.
You, what do you think of my new moustache?
Oh, it's very smart, Mr. Scrupulous, sir.
It is, isn't it? I think everyone should grow moustaches. And you look for the hospital. This is a general announcement. All members of staff at this facility are to grow moustaches by the end of the day.
Arthur Dent is currently on the ground floor of the Youth Sanitaire Facility, approximately 75 miles below Ford Prefect, although this distance can be reported to be reducing as Ford is descending rapidly in a lift. At his current speed, he will reach the ground floor in less than 40 seconds, where he will exit the lift and say, "Hello, Arthur." In deference to the years they spent on primordial Earth together, he may even try to pick a few fleas off his back.
Now listen up. I don't care how big or how ravenous you are. You spit these people back out immediately.
I don't know how. Oh, I couldn't help eating them. I'd have eaten you if you weren't behind that screen. It's this body. It's got some kind of reflex action. And I can't seem to stop flinging things into my mouth. It's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, well, it's going to get a whole lot worse for you if you don't start regurgitating. Every single one of these people you've swallowed is a potential fee-paying patient. We'll drag you through every court in the land, and we'll make you cough up.
I'm a separating 10-foot-tall monster. I've eaten 11 people and I'm about to get sued. I must be in hell. That's what it is. I've died and gone to hell.
Hello, Arthur. Do you know this creature?
What? Is it really you? No, wait. Stay back. Stay back.
What's the matter, Arthur?
Ford, you taste absolutely disgusting.
I'm pleased to see you too. Anyway, it's not me that tastes bad. The guy in the bed next to mine was a Flaxdraxian gigafant, and he was having certain explosive issues with his pheromones. The poor guy was spraying stench all over the patients in the ward. Probably why you couldn't stomach me. Let's get out of here. Hospitals always give me the creeps.
Excuse me! Excuse me! You can't possibly leave! You've eaten 11 patients!
Oh dear, Arthur. Have you been doing something you shouldn't have?
I don't want to leave, Ford. I want my proper body back.
What are you talking about? This body of yours is great. It's versatile. It's macho. It's got mandibles. You know, if there was one thing you were always telling me, it was how much you wanted mandibles. All the time it was, where's the tea? I don't understand. I wish I had mandibles.
I don't want to have mandibles!
Gone off them now, have you?
Listen, Ford, there's not that much that I've understood or even been able to come to terms with over the past few years. But I can't go through the rest of my life like this. Please, I have to get my body back.
But Arthur, you don't understand. There's this party I've heard about and we've simply got to get to it.
Ford!
All right. We'll nip up in the lift and I'll have a word with Nurse Dillingdrum. See what we can do for you.
You're not taking that consumer of customers anywhere.
Ah, can I make a proposition to you?
I doubt it, buddy.
Okay, you want your patients back and we want to give them to you. There's every chance that your customers are still safe because my friend's digestive juices activate once every 8 hours.
Really?
We can't leave the hospital without coming through reception. So what say you take a break for an hour? Fix yourself a drink, put up your feet and all that. Meanwhile, we'll take your customers up to the right floor for treatment and save you the hassle.
I don't know. I could do with a break. I've been on shift now for 402,322 days.
You're not going to make much of a profit suing Arthur. He hasn't got much. In fact, he's not even in possession of his own body. If you do it our way, you can make money for the company without having to do anything. What do you say?
You've got 1 hour. Then I'm sending the war lawyers up to find you.
Thanks. Now go and have the break you've always promised yourself.
Maybe I will.
Right, Arthur, into the lift.
It's a bit of a squeeze. Phew, made it. Thanks, Wolf. I really appreciate this. How did you know it was me?
You're still wearing that unfashionable dressing gown.
Oh.
Let's see now, which floor do we need? There's reception, emergency treatment, high pressure containment, nuclear armory, fixist nano lasers, vulpecular blasters, gigawatt death cannons.
What? Are you sure this is a hospital?
Of course! All these weapons are purely for defence.
Defence? From what?
Other hospitals.
Oh, it's hopeless. There are thousands of floors and my body could be on any one of them.
Now, a special message from the managing director of this new sanitary facility, Drone Scrupulous.
Here at New Sanitaire, we are dedicated to providing the best healthcare service in the galaxy. If you want equivalent healthcare, it's a multi-million light-year trip. Come to you, Sanitaire. If you try anywhere else, you'll probably be dead before you get there. And we wouldn't like that.
No, Arthur! That's going to expensive property!
Oh, look! Oh, God! Now I'm meeting metal as well!
Well, at least the people you've swallowed have got something to watch now.
But that face on the screen!
It did look familiar, didn't it? Let's see what floor his office is on.
Hurry up, Ford. I think I felt my stomach grumble.
Try and keep it down, Arthur. If your digestive juices start flowing, all those people you've swallowed will die.
It's not like you to have such a humanitarian attitude.
What have humans got to do with it? I'm only worried about those war lawyers. If they get sent after us, there'll be no defence in any sense.
In one of its less coherent passages, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy claims that, despite the best efforts of modern science, dying remains the single largest cause of death in the galaxy. Death can afflict anybody at any time and is a major cause of upset for all races. It even remains a problem for the vanishingly small number of immortal beings in the universe. Without the prescience offered by time travel, these beings can only claim that they have been immortal thus far, and cannot guarantee that they will retain their immortality indefinitely. As a result, history is littered with examples of so-called immortal beings dropping dead. The worshippers of the exalted and immortal Deltaphon claim that their leader is immortal, but in order to remain in such a state, he must lie still and carry out no strenuous or potentially life-threatening physical activities, such as opening his eyes, taking a breath, or allowing his heart to beat. It is allegedly this deep state of meditation that maintains his eternal life. One path to immortality is the transfer of consciousness from one being to another, and it is this technique that Droll Scrupulous has placed his faith in. Most sensible people in the galaxy reject it, because it leads to a whole gamut of confusing questions about identity, such as, am I still me? Where does my consciousness now reside? And what size shoes do I need to wear now? For Droll Scrupulous, however, swapping his mind into a new body is the only method by which he can hide from his estranged wife.
Hey, you can't come in here. This meeting room is private.
Oh, really?
How can I help you?
See, Arthur, what did I tell you? Those mandibles are great. You've got them spooked.
I want my old body back.
Don't say that. They'll take you literally and stick you in a body of a 200-year-old. I know their tricks.
All right. I want my young body back.
Not that young.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Listen, my mustachioed friend. What Arthur is trying to say is that he wants his body. The one that's not too old, even though it's not particularly young either. The body that your managing director is currently flaunting about as if it were a new hat, and he wants it now. Otherwise, the patients of yours that he swallowed are going to get digested any minute now, and you'll lose any chance of making money out of them.
Do you mean this body?
You!
No, Arthur, that's not him, it's you.
Me! I mean you!
Feeling a mite confused? Dear, dear, it seems to me that you're not in a fit state of mind to be occupying any body.
You've grown a moustache on me?
Rather good, isn't it? Though I think you should know that this is not your body. This body belongs to Droll Scrupulous, who happens to be me. Why in Calliope should I give it to you?
Because we're holding a dozen of your patients hostage. 11 for the price of one seems fair to me.
And you are?
I'm Ford Prefect, Beetlejuicean entrepreneur, heavy drinker, and researcher for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
How very nice for you. Anyway, we can fix the hostage situation easily enough. Nurse?
Yes, sir?
500 mL of the trichloroxyl, please. Over the one in the dressing gown.
Right away.
What are you doing? Get away from me. What's that bucket for?
Hey, nurse. It's me. Remember me? You don't want to do this. What say you and me get out of this unfruity joint? There's this party I'm headed to. It's going to be massive. Love the new moustache, by the way. It really sets off your lips.
Stand back, please. This will activate a massive gag reflex and cause Mr. Dent to release his hostages. Try not to get any of it on you, Mr. Prefect.
Keep back!
Nurse, get these wealthy individuals down to intensive credit checking.
Right away, sir.
Arthur! Are you all right, Arthur?
Hold. What?
Yes?
I am not all bloody right!
I see.
Now what?
But she wouldn't dare. This is Droll Scrupulous. Battle stations. All doctors and nurses not involved in major surgery or the settling of a council to report to the nearest defence areas immediately. Antidon, show me tactical.
Are we under attack?
Tactical display up. Shall I get rid of these two?
It looks like you've got far worse problems than us.
By the soul of the supernatural surgeon.
Checking. Every one of those blips is a hospital.
A hospital?
Not a hospital, Arthur. A huge fleet of hospitals.
Every health facility in the entire quadrant. It's her! She must have done this.
Look, forgive me if I'm missing something here, but where I come from, hospitals are places that heal people. They take people who are sick or injured, and they make them better. You're talking about them as if they were warships.
Oh, they take people who are sick, all right. And where do you find most sick people?
The BBC canteen.
Other hospitals. There's a fortune to be made in healthcare business if you're ruthless enough.
Attention, all you sanitary health facility. You are ordered to bar down your weapons and surrender immediately.
It is her. Damn her gills.
Harold, how come we're still alive? Didn't the earth get blown on? Sounded close.
I'm not worried. I've seen the armament on this thing, and trust me, this hospital is the most brutal, unstoppable war machine that the cosmos has ever seen.
You're right, Big Fred. Even with that fleet, she can't hope to win. This is going to be a walkover, and all of the casualties will be paying their dues to you, Sanitaire. This is fantastic. Lower the ablative shielding. Give them all we've got.
Of course, the main attack on the hospital could be a diversionary tactic to draw your attention while they try and achieve some other goal, like perhaps causing you to lower your ablative shielding so that they can teleport out the managing director, ending the battle in a single stroke.
Look, if you haven't got anything useful to contribute, Prefect, then...
Stop giving orders, I see.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't try to fool me, Droll. I know it's you. Is that sea monster talking to us?
I don't believe it. A guy in a leviathan.
What did you say? That creature in the tank. It must be 500 feet long. What is it?
It's a guy in a leviathan. And judging by the shape of this room and the glass walls... don't think that she's the one who's in the tank.
You mean we're in? Wah!
Arthur, Arthur, stop it. You're spraying musk everywhere. Don't panic. Remember, don't panic.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
That's better. We don't know how much air she's given us.
Who are your friends, darling?
They're nothing to do with me. You could do me a favour and flush them out of the air bubble if you like.
Oh no! That brown one with the mandibles is quite handsome. Fantastic! Now Moby Dick's great arm is flirting with me.
What's the point of all these games, Green Turtle? You know that you can't take on the U-Sanitaire facility, even with your hospital fleet.
It's always the same with you. It's always about your career, about your hospital, but this is about us. This is about two beings who once promised to share their lives together. Two beings who used to live a dream existence. Two beings who believed in a romantic story that came true. But look at them now! I need to form a vast alliance of warring factions simply to attack your attention. Do you want to know the point of all these games, huh? I did all of this for one reason, bro. And that was because I needed to ask... where did the love go?
Ha! You don't expect me to take this seriously, do you? Go and eat your own tail, Green Turtle. I don't need you.
How could you say that?
Yeah, how could you say that?
It's quite easy. If I ever fell for you, Green Turtle, it was a moment of stupidity that I've regretted ever since.
No!
I've spent most of my adult life running away from you. Our time together was hell. And it's not as if you were ever faithful. Yes, I know all about Sammy the Squid.
No! Sammy the Squid was only a friend. I only went to him because he was pushing me away.
Face it, Groom Turtle, we've drifted apart. We're not sexually compatible anymore. We don't even seem light on the same wavelengths.
No! Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh! Oh! Oh! Oh, great. Nice one, Mr. Loverman. Arthur and I only just came back to life, and you're going to get us killed.
I've been meaning to ask about that, actually, Vought.
What's to explain? I use the pan-dimensional properties of the bird book to siphon money from every dimension into one account. Then I bought us both a first-rate life insurance policy. It's a one-shot, though. The increase in premiums means we literally can't afford to die twice.
Well, makes everything perfectly clear.
Ford's explanation of how he and Arthur have been resurrected is glib at best, being on a level with the phrase, whatever happens, happens. The explanation, therefore, requires an explanation of its own. What happened was this. After finding that the publishers of the best-selling Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy had been taken over by Infinidim Enterprises, Ford obtained a copy of the Guide Mark II, a pan-dimensional entity capable of reverse temporal engineering. This property was abused by the Vogons to ensure the destruction of Earth in every dimension, but not before it was abused in a far more solipsistic way by Ford. Using the properties of the guide, Ford was able to commit the perfect crime. It has often been remarked that in order to commit the perfect crime, you would need to have an unimpeachable alibi. In other words, you would have to prove that you were somewhere else at the time of the crime. The guide allowed Ford to take this one step further by giving him the alibi of not even existing in the same dimension as the crime. All Ford had to do was to find a healthy-looking bank account in another dimension, steal a few bank details, child's play to a seasoned guide researcher such as Ford Prefect, and to transfer the funds from that account into his own. This money was then used by Ford to fund an ultra-comprehensive life insurance policy for Arthur and himself. What Ford is unaware of is that an infinite number of Ford prefects from other dimensions also carried out this pan-dimensional burglary, and that every single one of them simultaneously stole money from the same account. This account belonged to a being named Jandrath Usage, but fortunately, he is not worth worrying about for the present. The ultra-comprehensive policy covers its owner for only one instance of death occurring. As the old saying says, you only live twice, or once, or an infinite number of times, but it's certainly at least once, unless all existence is illusory. It is also said that being crushed by an enraged Gyna Leviathan is a near certain way to die.
The glass is cracking!
I think we need to come to an understanding here.
An understanding? From that selfish little minx?
That little minx is going to shatter this tank and kill us all!
Ha! She's always showing off.
I don't know how much longer this glass is going to hold. I can't believe that creature is your wife. What the hell did you see in her?
See in her? We were young, the galaxy was a more romantic place. Back when I was a Gyna Leviathan myself, before I got into treating bipedal humanoids, we used to swim together in the seas of Aqua Meridian Mage, without a care in the universe. He had the most cocottish smile.
You got this leak, Arthur?
We used to rub our vast bodies together, scraping barnacles off each other under the cold
ocean waters.
You like the way this glass is bulging?
Her scales are still so shiny. Groom Turtle. Oh, Groom Turtle. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, my love. I am so sorry. I never meant to push you away. I was distracted by my work. I was obsessed. But I see it now. None of it matters. Groom Turtle, I love you.
You hear that? He loves you!
Do you really mean it? He means it! He means it!
I can't expect you to trust me now after all what I've done to you. But my heart knows that I'm telling the truth. Groot Turtle Scrupulous, I love you!
You're not just saying that because you're about to be crushed under pressure and fall in the atmospheres of liquid.
No way!
Never! Not a chance!
You know me, my love. I'm a passionate man. If you don't completely destroy us, I promise I will change my body and become a Gyno Firefin again.
You would do that? For me?
My love, I would do anything for you.
Hello? The rates of the course of true love running smooth in the past. Is there any chance of helping us with these leaks?
Don't worry. The gas will repair itself if you take your slimy protuberance out of it.
Oh. Right? Come. Come, my dear. Let's slip you out of that body and into something more amphibious.
Right away, my beauty. I'm coming back to you.
Ah, now, Droll, now. If you're not going to be using that body anymore, then perhaps you could,
What? Let your monster friend have it? Why? Certainly.
Really?
Of course. First, I'll have to send you down to reception for a few checks and sort out the paperwork.
Oh, I've seen the mountains of forms you get people to fill out. All filled with drop-out clauses and devious traps.
Don't be ridiculous. We need to know about our patients so that we can give them appropriate treatment.
You stole that body from me and dumped me in this thing.
Are you joking? That's a great body. Top of the range. I was doing you a favour. Don't get aggressive with me.
Droll, dear. Just give it back to him.
But I...
Droll?
Oh, very well.
I do apologise for my husband. He's terribly compassionate when you get to know him. No, little rats. Right, all
right. Right then, let's get started. There's a certain party I want to get to.
Will Ford and Arthur make it to this party? Why is Ford so excited about it anyway? Will Arthur keep the moustache that Droll Scrupulous has installed on his upper lip? Will Zaphod Beeblebrox escape death by firing squad?
Hey!
Find out the answers to these questions, and many, many more, in the next Hippocratic installment of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Apocryphal Phase.
In this episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Apocryphal Phase, David Wilcox was the voice of the book. Alex Finch was Arthur Dent and Droll Scrupulous. Tim Horton was Ford Prefect. David Taylor was the receptionist. Philip Ludlam was Ramillaid Byrne. Anthony Cox was Droid 38 and Antodon. John Masters was the announcer. Susan Cully was Nurse Dillingdrum and Groom Turtle Scrupulous. And Brendan Jones was Zaphod Beeblebrox. Retrophonic music was by Andrew Clancy, and the programme was written and produced by Stephen Alexander. Known side effects of listening to this episode include nausea, hair loss, change of sex, rapid height gain, and, for an extra fee, flatulence.